anonymous sources on The Steve Gruber Show. Just people fool enough to use their real names.
Ho, 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 it's magic.
You 33 know. After on this Tuesday. Good to have you here. If you missed it yesterday, I want to share real quickly this with you from Kamala Harris. Out there proclaiming, as no surprise, proclaiming her utter and total support and allegiance to gun control. Real quickly, bite seven, Alex.
People in Washington, D.C., supposed leaders who have failed to have the courage to reject a false choice, which suggests you're either in favor of the Second Amendment or you want to take everyone's guns away. Supposed leaders in Washington, D.C., who have failed to have the courage to recognize, you know what, you want to go hunting, that's fine. But we need reasonable gun safety laws in this country,
all
starting
right,
with universal background checks.
Universal background checks and a reinstituting of the assault rifle ban and all of that. You know, I get sick and tired. If you want to go hunting, it's not, but you know, if the deer are going to invade, then that would make sense for the Second Amendment. It's so foolish when I hear that. Dr. John Lodge joining me, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Doctor, welcome back.
Good morning.
Very predictable, of course, Kamala Harris. And, of course, reinstituting the ban on AR-15s and so forth. And, of course, expanded background checks. Just step one and step two for her. That's just a beginning. Let's not kid ourselves, right?
Right. Well, I mean, she also released a whole set of executive orders that she wants to do to make it for different types of gun control regulations. Look, you know, I wish the media somehow would critically examine some of these sound bites that are there. You know, you take the thing about universal background checks, these background checks on private transfers. You know, it sounds great. Everybody wants to stop criminals from getting guns. The problem is in the details. So you look at these background checks in places like Washington, D.C., it costs $125 to privately transfer guns. And just to give you some idea of their motives, if I'm going to transfer somebody five guns to the same person, you'd think one background check would do it on all five guns. But no, the way they write these laws in different places is that each gun has to have its own separate background check rather than the background check on the same person buying the gun.
So it's a money grab.
Rather than $125, it's going to be over $600 that you're going to have. When you see details like that, you know the motivation has, you know, is just to make it costly for people who have guns. I'll give you another example. I've been dealing with gun control advocates for 20 years on this, and that is when they constantly say, as Kamala Harris and others are saying, that there are 3.5 million dangerous or prohibited people that have been stopped from buying guns because of background checks. That's simply a lie. What they should say is that there are 3.5 million initial denials, and that virtually all of those, about 99% of those, are mistakes. It's one thing to stop a felon from buying a gun. It's another thing to stop somebody simply because they have a name similar to a felon from buying a gun. When you buy a gun and you go through, fill out the form, and they do the background check, you give them your name, your Social Security number, your race, your address, your birthday, your eye color, you think they're using all that information. What they use is roughly phonetically similar names and similar birthdays. And the problem is that this is extremely racist, what they're doing, because people tend to have names similar to others in their racial groups.
Right.
Hispanics have names similar to Hispanics, blacks have names similar to blacks. Almost 30% of black males are legally prohibited from owning a gun because of past criminal history. Well, whose names are their names going to be confused with? Other law-abiding, good black males. There's no reason the government should be making these mistakes. When you can appeal, but it costs like $3,000 to $10,000. Who are they stopping? They're stopping poor blacks, poor Hispanics from being able to go and buy guns. All you have to do is have the federal government have to meet the same standards for doing background checks that the federal government requires that private companies that do background checks on their employees have to meet.
Yeah,
the point is, I can go on, but the things, when they say reasonable, What they're really meaning are rules that they know are designed to stop lots of law-abiding citizens from buying guns. When you have 3.5 million mistakes, that's simply inexcusable. And particularly, they're stopping the most vulnerable people. The people who are most likely to be victims of violent crime.
Sure.
Those are the ones they're stopping from owning guns.
Yeah. It drives me crazy, though. You know, we're okay with people that hunt. And that's not the purpose of the Second Amendment. And it drives me, you know, it just drives me nuts when that's what they go to. Because, oh, yeah, you can hunt and, you know, you can do it. It has nothing to do with it. The Second Amendment wasn't about, you know, deer and elk invading, you know, Michigan, and I had to defend myself from an onslaught. It's silly. It's about self-preservation, self-defense, and the right to personal protection and liberty. That's the way I read it. I believe that's what the Supreme Court arrived at when they decided that, yes, it is. Every right enumerated in the Bill of Rights is an individual right. And yet some on the left would argue that it's a collective right is the Second Amendment. It's by itself, with no explanation, it's a collective right and not an individual right, which is nonsense.
All right, look, I mean, Kamala Harris and others, they want to go and say what their violence prevention policy. All my things are violence prevention policies. I hate it when people like President Trump or others are defined as gun rights advocates. They have no fetish for owning guns. What it is there's a difference. Do you allow people to defend themselves? These gun-free zones, which is something they want to expand, okay? The reason why you and I are concerned about gun-free zones is because it prevents people from being able to defend themselves. The policies that we want to have are ones that we aim to reduce violence. There's no reason why the media should constantly go and tag the others as violence prevention and people who want to let people defend themselves, particularly the most vulnerable people in our society. The notion that somehow they don't understand that terrorists and others attack soft targets where people aren't allowed to defend themselves, that 98% of these mass public shootings have taken place in these so-called gun-free zones.
Sure.
Where general citizens aren't allowed to defend themselves. You know, the notion that they refuse to accept that the ability to defend yourself is a way of preventing violence and saving lives is just really disappointing. But all these things have an impact on the debate.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the fact that I'm a constitutional rights advocate. I mean, that's what I'm an advocate. That's true. I'm an advocate for constitutional rights. And, you know, I guess that makes me a gun rights advocate as well, just by default.
No, but you're also an advocate for violence prevention.
Absolutely.
You support. You have the position. You have the position you were talking about before because you want to prevent violence. So why should they get the moniker there of violence prevention?
Because absolutely.
I believe their policies, unfortunately, preventing poor minorities who are most likely to be victims of violent crime, making it so people in general can't defend themselves in other areas, encourages criminals, encourages terrorists to go and attack and kill other people.
Dr. John Lott, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, always an incredible guest. Find out more about his writings, his books, his insight at crimeresearch.org. That's crimeresearch.org. Doctor, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's the Steve Gerber Show.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals, but I learned to push through, and that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to grads of life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
It was a moment.
It was a moment that changed my life.
We looked down from the chopper and saw the whole area was flooded.
At that moment, it really hit me. This is why I joined the Guard.
People had gone up to the rooftops to escape the rising waters.
Talk about intense moments. We had to lower the guys online some 30 feet down.
This is where teamwork and training really paid off.
It took steady nerves and steady hands for the chopper pilots to hover like that.
No question, Guard pilots are the best in the world.
I couldn't believe it. I just saved a life.
What could be better than serving the people of my hometown?
In the National Guard, you serve your community as well as your country. While you work or attend college, in return, you gain skills in which you can build a career and receive benefits that can help you pay for college. Learn more about what it means to be a citizen soldier at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Michigan National Guard, aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.